Radio Free Readout begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
American Readout episode 16-04. This is the John Jacob Schmidt Show. I am John Jacob Schmidt, your host. Thank you so much for tuning in and for being with us, and I hope you had a blessed week. And hopefully it was fruitful and productive, and that you did something having to do with preserving liberty and Americanism and our Christian heritage. Something related, something useful. Besides self-entertainment, did you? What'd you do? Just think back on the last week. Well, I know that myself and the partisans of Radio Free Readout and Amron have been very busy, which is why we have not been able to put out a partisan radio, but tonight we will be right after this show. So thank you for tuning in, and thank you guys for following us who do on facebook.com/Radio Free Readout, where we put relevant articles, news, and developments on a daily basis, multiple times a day, over there on social media. I want to thank the partisans for helping to locate some of that difficult-to-find content, very important messages, helping to make that go viral, and informing our fellow patriots that do use social media. Thank you guys for supporting us through the web store at the Readout Gear Store. T-shirts, hats now available, coffee mugs on the way. And we appreciate you guys helping to spread the word and get Radio Free Readout and Amron out there to start the discussion with folks that are looking for solutions. And that's what we try to do here at Radio Free Readout. Not just pointing out the issues, which is important, but also planning and preparing for the days ahead together, looking for solutions that we feel are viable solutions to facing the challenges of tomorrow together. So what we're going to do is talk a little bit about the news and commentary, which is brought to you by Glenn Tate and the 299 Days book series, with all 10 books out about the economic and societal collapse and the rebuilding, including audio books now. And then we're going to talk about some Burns, Oregon, Harney County, Oregon updates. We're going to talk about some stuff that Obama did while everyone was looking the other way during the superstorm that the tail end of that is going through New Europe right now, virtually shutting down Virginia, New York, the entire Northeast United States. It's gotten pummeled with a record-breaking storm, but not everybody was at home with their feet kicked up by the fire. There are some people working in dark, shadowy places with plans for your future, fundamentally transforming America. Let's talk about the weather. From weather.com, this storm, here's something very interesting. The Weather Channel estimated about 208,000 customers were without power due to the effects of the winter storm Jonas. A colossal winter storm that breaks all kinds of records, brings commercial power in many places to a stop, brings transportation to a stop. The nerve center for this country was struck by a massive storm that brought it all to its knees, responsible apparently for up to possibly 20 deaths so far that we know about. And what's interesting is that this was named Storm Jonas, which a very astute listener pointed out yesterday is a biblical name, Jonas, which means sent by God. Isn't that interesting? Not being superstitious here, but you know, there is a lot about names in the Bible. Interesting. Sent by God. One of the biggest storms, or the biggest storm ever to hit that region. But not everybody was taking the day off. Everyone was ordered in New York City to be home by 2:30 and off the streets because they were stopping all transportation. Inside the Beltway in Washington, D.C., everything was closed and brought to a standstill. But there were some people that were working on their agenda for you and me. We'll get to that in just a little bit. Here's a great article that just came out by FossBytes.com. The secret code in your printer is helping governments to spy on you. Now, according to latest EFF research, it's possible that you own a printer that is leaking the important information about you to the government by printing some secret yellow codes on each document. And they have this well documented. Xerox, Brother, Dell, HP, and Canon printers are helping the Secret Service. A research team at the Electronics Frontier Foundation, EFF, has cracked the secret code in printers that some color printers secretly hide in every document that they print out. In the past, U.S. Secret Service has admitted that the hidden printer code was a part of a deal with laser printer manufacturers, and these secret codes in printers help the government to identify the counterfeited documents. The new revelations have uncovered the private information that was encoded in each document printed on these printers. And they said, we found that the dots from at least one line of computers encode the date and time that your document was printed, as well as the serial number of the printer. And of course, there's hard drives within those printers. And now with the cloud services and HP and everybody else, this book that I mentioned yesterday, somebody sent me an audio book. I have not had a chance to listen to it, but it is called No Place to Hide, talking about the intrusive government technology. And by the time you're done with it, you'll be convinced there is no place to hide. They are spying on everything through every means, and this is not conspiracy theory. Well documented, and this is all tied in with the Snowden case, and it really pulls the veil back on the citizen spying apparatus of our own government. Now, I have not listened to the audiobook. I've not read the book, but the individual who did give it to me is reading it now and is continuously briefing me on new discoveries. So I'm looking very much forward to checking that out. No Place to Hide. It falls right in this right here, these little almost invisible yellow dot matrices that they print on these printers, so that they can track the serial number, time, and date of the document when it was printed. And this is just scraping the surface here, but it's another affirmation of things that we had heard before. All right, that's a wrap for the first segment, news and commentary. Fox 519 has got an extended eye on the economy with all of the things that are developing with the economy right now. He wanted to take a few extra moments to talk about that with you. It's getting closer where we need to start thinking about, I guess, accelerating our preps, our plans because of the way things are going. I'll let him talk to you about that. And then when we come back, we're going to talk about some of the things that the communist in chief has been involved in while you were dealing with the storms. Oh, isn't that interesting? Before we do, New Jersey is waiving its snow shoveling licensing process in response to this storm. Snow shoveling licenses were required. Then this storm, well, it made him realize that that's all silliness and people need to remove snow and we're not going to harass people for not having a snow shoveling license to dig themselves out of this latest. Isn't this something? New Europe. Used to be America. That's where America was founded, in that part of the country. No longer. Is there anything there that resembles America except for the historical places that you can go and visit? But it's just a remnant of an America that used to be. Interesting. Presidential war powers and new anti-gun tactics that the president is getting ready to implement. All that and more when we come back. Stay right there. This is Radio Free Redoubt.
I love my country. I love my guns. I love my family. I love the way it is now. And anybody that tries to change it has to come through me. That should be all of our attitudes. Is this is America, and a country boy's good enough for me, son.
Well, the global economy is in a meltdown as the Baltic Dry Index crashes and shipping containers all around the world stop moving. Now, what does that mean to the mainstream media? Well, nothing, because they're worried about if Palin is the right running mate for Trump. If it feels like the mainstream media is pumping out industrial-strength stupid, well, then you'd be absolutely correct. We have some major things to be concerned with stemming from this past week's stock activities, and economists here stateside are beginning to realize that we may not be in a recovery. Hello everyone, Fox Night 519 here, bringing you the news that matters to your pocketbook as patriots and preppers. This is Eye on the Economy, brought to you by Radio Free Redoubt.
All right, Fox. The economy has finally collapsed. I'm so glad we are all set and prepared. Looks like we've got our bases covered for a while. We've got the chickens for eggs and plenty of meat and lots of flour and yeast and other supplies.
Yep, we've got it all covered. I just got off the radio with the team and they're inbound right now. With any luck, they'll be here by day's end. We'd better get going around the tree here to be ready for them. Go tell the boys to break into the coffee storage and bring some up.
Dad, what are you talking about? We ran out of coffee last week. I was just down there. We don't have anything.
Last week? Oh, no. This is not good. We can't even drive into town and try to buy what's left. The army has already closed the highway into town. How could we have overlooked this?
What are we going to do? Without coffee, we're not going to make it! All right, everyone. You don't want to end up like this family, do you? The bottom has fallen out. The stuff has hit the fan. And no way to get to the store again, and not a cup of coffee in sight. This is just a bad situation waiting to get worse. Thankfully, you've got SistersCoffeeRoasters.com to watch your six. They offer premium green coffee beans vacuum sealed with instructions on how to roast your own coffee, and the price is awesome. 3 pounds of green beans for $21, and shipping is just $6. I've tasted it, and it's the best I've ever tasted. So forget that canned stale stuff and add Sisters Coffee Roasters coffee to your food storage today. Call 509-999-6694 and get set up for your delivery right away before it's too late. That's SistersCoffeeRoasters.com, and make sure no coffee drinker is left behind.
And welcome back. First of all, I'll have to apologize for the Fox 519 mutt in the background. He won't be quiet, and so I have to actually try to chase him away a little later. All right. Well, first off, we want to start off with a very special thank you to our sponsor, SistersCoffeeRoasters.com, and I just want to say that I had a cup of their Costa Rican coffee the other day, and it is really great. And I know having green beans in my food storage is not only going to make me happy, but Mrs. Fox 519, too. Get out there and support them today, folks. Absolutely quality product. Okay, now last week I raised the red flag after the events of last Wednesday, and I stand by my warning that our economy and stock market are way down and are quickly headed even further down. Now, everyone that sat on my voice, you should be stepping up your game. Why? Well, this week we're going to talk about two global factors that are impacting the markets here in America. First, let's talk about the Baltic Dry Index. The fact that it's fallen over 744 points since August of this last year, well, that's huge. And to be clear again, this is what the Baltic Dry Index is. One, it's a shipping and trade index created by the London-based Baltic Exchange that measures the changes in cost to transport raw materials such as metals, grains, and fossil fuels by sea. The Baltic Exchange directly contacts shipping brokers to access price levels for any given route. Now, this is also a product, it's a transport, it also calculates product and transport speed delivery time.
Now, the Baltic Dry Index is a composite of three sub-indexes that are the measure of different sizes of bold dry carriers. Now, they talk about Caper Size, Supermax, and Panamax, and that just has to do with the size of the ship. Now, why is this important to you and I in the economy? Well, because right now at 3:55 p.m. in the afternoon, there are only 20 cargo tanker ships moving between Europe, the Orient, and us. Now, that's out of 3,564 merchant ships that are actually tracked by marine.com. That is not good at all. That's only 0.005% of the ships they have registered. So, what happens when something like this takes place? Well, the Baltic Dry Index falls and dry goods and oil begin to disappear quickly. Now, that may seem odd, but eventually at some point, the ships will not contain that oil. Now, sure, 3:55 on a Saturday afternoon may not be the high point of the week, but there are hundreds more ships that should be en route to Europe as well. Now, let's put this into perspective. In late 2008... the BDI crashed 90% in the early part of 2009, and it fell only to right around 600. Today, it's 358. Yes, 358. I can't even tell you how troubling this is for the future of our economy. It's so bad, and I can almost tell you with all certainty that's why Walmart's newest round of store closures and layoffs has to do with that. This is coming, everyone. You need to be ready to react. Well, in other world news tonight, the war on cash has escalated dramatically. The IMF and China, oh, yes, I know, I can hear the collective groans now. Yes, both countries are seeing the opportunity to control the world's money through a virtual cashless currency. The PBOC is targeting an early rollout of China's own digital currency to, quote, boost the control of money. And none other than IMF's Christine Lagarde is in lockstep right behind him, adding that the, quote, virtual currencies are extremely beneficial. So, why are governments suddenly keen to ban physical cash? Well, the answer appears to be that the banks and government authorities are anticipating bail-ins rapidly. Now, they see these steeply negative interest rates and hefty fees on cash, and they want to close any opening for regular depositors like you and I to get our cash out when things start to go wrong. As you're all aware, the escape mechanism for bail-ins and fees on cash deposits is physical cash and the powers that we all know it to be. Now we are seeing a flurry of calls to eliminate that cash as a relic of a bygone age, and that is when the commoners like you and I had some way to safeguard our money from bail-ins and bankers' control. This is just bad juju, and now it's not just the IMF and China who are in favor of converting to digital currencies. Norway's biggest bank, DNB, has called for the whole entire country to stop using cash altogether, which is why the latest move in the country has been to have all banks convert to digital currencies. Now, DNB's proposal suggests eliminating the use of cash would cut down on black market sales and crimes such as money laundering. Here's what spokesperson Trond Bounstein had to say about Norway's cash usage. Quote, today there's approximately 50 billion kroner in circulation through the country's central bank. Norges Bank can account for 40% of its use. That means that 60% of the money usage is outside of any control. We believe that due to under-the-table and money laundering. Now, there are many dangers and disadvantages associated with cash, and we have concluded that all of these should be phased out. Ladies and gentlemen, Norway is rapidly moving this direction. As a follow-up statistic to this, Bounstein eliminated that only 6% of Norwegians use cash on a daily basis, with those numbers being much, much higher among the elderly people, and I would imagine the much more educated folks as well. With that in mind, and these two stories looking back, I want to read something to you that I think all of you, excuse me, everyone, that will hit you right in the heart. Revelation 16:16-18. It forced all people, great and small, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive the mark on their right hands and their foreheads, so they could not buy or sell unless they had the mark, which is the name of the beast, of the number of its name. So, fellow readouters, this escalation on cash means one thing. The time is drawing nigh. You need to make sure that when that time comes, you can stand on your own 2 feet and not having to worry about selling your soul while you're starving. Well, some tough financial news this week, but I know all of you are doing your best out there, and God is on our side. On a final note, Whiskey 62 and I are recruiting, and if you have been preparing and realize that you don't have a place to survive at and have been thinking about joining a survival team, you live in the northern part of the readout, please write to me at fox519@radiofreeredoubt.com. We would love to meet with you and potentially add you to our team. Remember, we're stronger together than alone. Thanks again for listening, and for Eye on the Economy and Radio Free Readout, this is Fox 519 signing off. God bless.
In a world where not all podcasts are equal.
Thank you for that, Fox 519. This is segment two, brought to you by Katie Armor. Come and take it, Armor. And they are an American redoubt-based, Patriot-owned business who are deserving of your support if you are in the market for personal body armor. With steel plates and the lighter weight soft armor available, go to katiearmor.com, C-A-T-I-armor.com. And don't forget to use your coupon code JohnJacob to get your discount. And their turnaround now is about less than a week. You can always email me directly at johnjacob@radiofreeredoubt.com. If you're listening on the go or a recording, a CD or something that somebody gave you and you're listening, the website is radiofreeredoubt.com, the voice of the American Redoubt. Now, you guys understand that up until now, or at least up until, what, July? This coming July, July 13th, is when this goes into effect. ATF Rule 41F. I've got the link here. It's the NFAFA.org. ATF 41P is in Papa. And we're going to put a link in the highlights and resources posting for you. They're changing the rules where you used to be able to set up a trust for your family and your sound suppressors, short-barreled rifles, Class 2, Class 3 weapons and accessories that required NFA tax stamps. You could do this under the rules allowed you to set up a trust so that these things actually belonged to a trust, not an individual. Well, it's the final regulatory rule signed by the Obama administration on January 4th of this year, 2016, regarding the transfer and manufacture of weapons regulated by the National Firearms Act, unconstitutionally. The initial proposed rule, Rule 41P, proposed adding a new definition of a, quote, responsible person to the regulations and would have required all responsible persons in any entity, including a trust, used to purchase or manufacture NFA weapons to obtain the signature of their chief law enforcement officer on the application, as well as submit fingerprints and photographs for review by ATF examiners. Entities such as trusts, LLCs, and corporations have become popular for acquiring NFA weapons and accessories because individuals experienced great difficulty in obtaining the chief law enforcement officer signature in many areas of the country if it was not outright impossible, and the use of an entity to acquire such weapons and accessories did not previously require the applicant to obtain a chief law enforcement officer signature. They're trying to change that. Even though over 9,500 comments were submitted to the ATF voicing opposition to this proposed rule, highlighting the fact that the rule, as proposed, would create a de facto ban on NFA weapons such as silencers, which actually should be called sound suppressors, in jurisdictions where chief law enforcement officer signatures were impossible to secure, in addition to other related concerns. But do they care about 9,500 comments saying to stop taking our means of defending ourselves and restricting that? No, they're not going to listen to that. So there is a deadline on this. I'm reading from this question and answer sheet that this link that we're going to post will take you to. The effective date of the rule will be 180 days from the date that it is published in the Federal Register, which was January 15th. That makes it effective July 13th, 2016. All paperwork that was submitted to the NFA branch for processing prior to July 13th will be processed under the former rules. So there's a deadline. If you want to set up a trust, LLC, or whatever it is, and acquire NFA regulated firearms and accessories, which I keep saying accessories, a noise suppressor by NFA rules is considered a weapon. A hollowed out piece of steel with baffles in it is a weapon requiring you to register it. Isn't that something? So basically you have a deadline. They're saying, how will this affect my existing gun trust? The construction of the final rule does not apply directly to existing trusts or entities that are in possession of NFA weapons, but to future applications made by both individuals and entities. So after July 13th of 2016, you will be required to submit or do the following with any Form 1 or Form 4 application. That is a complete copy of your trust and any schedule or exhibit referenced by it. For each responsible person, party, two fingerprint cards, a 2x2-inch photograph taken within the last year, a completed NFA responsible person's questionnaire. You have to provide the chief law enforcement officer notification. Prior to submission, the applicant must forward a completed copy of the application Form 1 or Form 4, and all other RPs, responsible parties, persons, must forward a completed copy of their form. There's more hoops to jump through. Because we know how much crimes committed with people with noise suppressors, right? You just got to put an end to it. That's not what this is about. This is not about gun control. This is about people control. And gun control isn't about guns. It's about control. Period. Now, there's something else that happened. While everyone was watching the storm and Washington, D.C. was apparently closed for business, well, there's some others that were not closed for business. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell is attempting to fast-track a war powers bill that will allow President Obama nearly unlimited power to deploy the U.S. military anywhere in the world for any length of time, including on U.S. soil. There's an article over at ZeroHedge.com. Mitch McConnell moves grant, president, unlimited war powers, no expiration date. Okay, that's going to be uploaded. While you're listening, if you just want to, you know, you Googleize that while you're listening and yank that story up there, you'll see it for yourself. There's also a video, apparently, over on Facebook. We'll get that linked for you as well. Alexander Emmerich Jones videos. I've not watched this video yet, so I cannot attest to the content. I don't know the credibility of the individual who has produced or has posted the video. The authorization for use of military force put forward by McConnell would not restrict the president's use of ground troops nor have any limits related to time or geography. Defense One News reported. And this is also articles covered over there at defenseone.com in their politics section, Senate Leader Surprises Lawmakers. You can check that out. In other words, the authorization allows the president to deploy the military anywhere at his discretion, both foreign and domestic, for as long as he wants. Does that sound constitutional to you? Several senators, including Senate Majority Whip John Cornyn, were surprised by McDonnell's decision to fast-track this bill after a year of deep infighting over similar measures in the Senate. Even some Senate Democrats have an issue with the new authorization without geographical restrictions placed on the president. And there's more to that. But once again, the dictator-in-chief is ensuring, with his minions helping, to centralize and collect as much power as quickly as possible. That is not a good sign. That is how tyrannous regimes are born. So we're going to have to watch this one very closely. We make our legislators aware of this so they can resist this in their I guess, arena. Okay, when we come back, I'm going to give you a sit rep on Harney County, Oregon. Let you know what's going on there. Sam Culper produced a situation report. I'm going to share that with you here in just a minute. Stay right there.
This is Chris Walsh of Revolutionary Realty in North Idaho. We've developed springs, installed solar and wind power, installed root cellars, solar hot water heaters, all documented on our website, free for public use. Our articles are fully documented, full-page photos and drawings detailing each endeavor. Take a look at our off-grid information on our website, www.revrealty.us. Again, that's www.revrealty.us. When you're looking for property in North Idaho, call a Revolutionary, 208-667-1776.
How safe is your property? How long could it sustain you? Have you considered how you might deal with various threats? Have you planned out your property to get the most out of it for secure and self-reliant living? Those are the questions that Strategic Landscape Design answers. Their services include planning for the primary needs of water, food, energy, and self-defense, providing consulting and design services to help fellow patriots achieve a prepared lifestyle. Take the next step in making yours a secure and productive self-sufficient property. Go to www.strategiclandscapedesign.com. This is segment three at Radio Free Redoubt, and segment three is brought to you by Selkirk Mountain Real Estate to help patriots get situated, strategically relocated to the northern part of the Idaho Panhandle, deep within the American Redoubt. This is Patriot Territory, and Selkirk Mountain Real Estate are God-fearing patriots that want to help you. They're great folks. You can learn more by going to selkirkmountainrealestate.com. Now, let's talk about Harney County, Oregon. This is not over by a long shot. The Patriots are making their voices known and heard in that community through numerous town hall type meetings. But this judge that I've talked about before, Judge Grasty, who controls a lot of the political apparatus in that county, decided he doesn't want to hear any side of this story except the BLM are angels. Patriots of any type are the evil perpetrators of doom and terrorism, including constitutional attorney Chris Ann Hall, which he tried throwing up roadblocks and not literally, but obstacles to keep her from being able to speak about the constitutionality of the BLM and the overreach by our federal government, does not want that narrative get out. So he tried it first, saying you can't have your presentation at a county facility because, well, you're, you know, supporting the terrorists. She's not supporting the terrorists. She's informing the citizens about the overreach and the role that the federal government has taken on to inform the citizens about their constitutional rights and the duties of their leaders, local, state, and federal. They don't want that out. Some don't want that message getting out. Well, they're going to have another town hall meeting there, but only Judge Grasty, he's pulling all the strings for this next meeting, but it's for Harney residents, Harney County residents only. In fact, you have to pick up tickets at the county courthouse to even attend. To get your tickets, which are limited, you have to show ID and show residency. So they are closing everyone out who's not from Harney County. And they just keep going. And the town is divided. There are From my estimate, I would say about a third of the people want everybody just to leave and they want their community to return to normal. About two thirds of the people, although many of them are opposed to the tactics and the methods that the group with the Ammon Bundy chose at the wildlife refuge, they're looking at this as an opportunity to finally fix something that's been broken for a long time. And that's the government, federal government overreach, the threats, the intimidation, the coercion of the area's farmers and ranchers, land users and landowners. And they want something done. So this continues on, but I want to share with you the situation report that Sam Culper put out. He said that the situation report from sources on the ground in the vicinity of Burns, Oregon, as well as from open source reporting, states that this sitrep included information from a Salute report generated yesterday, which I received the day that that was produced. A Salute report is how you report spotting. Well, in the military, it's used for spotting enemy or enemy activity and reporting it. It's a mnemonic. Salute report stands for size, activity, location, unit, time, and equipment. So how do you report when you see the enemy and you want to let somebody else know? Well, this is not accurately a salute report, but they use this format to report what was going on. It's kind of a hybrid. It falls in between a salute report and a sitrep, a situation report. On the 400 or more local, state, and federal personnel that are on the ground in view of or in the vicinity of the town of Burns. Last week, the FBI compound at the Burns Municipal Airport consisted of one modular tent, a directional microwave antenna, a cell-on-wheels antenna, and a satellite dish mounted on a communications vehicle. Now, in the past several days, the FBI presence has significantly increased to three modular tents, six equipment trailers, one to two dozen mobile light towers, in addition to dozens of additional personnel. Sources on the ground say the increase consists mostly of tactical teams as opposed to support elements. Multiple sources also report that the FBI and other law enforcement demeanor has changed to, quote, almost hostile toward the Pacific Patriots Network, which is a network of some 3%er groups and some militia patriots that last week said that they want to be there to make sure that another Waco doesn't occur, that things are resolved peacefully. And they didn't want to interfere, didn't want to intervene, but they also want to make sure that these guys don't go in there and just slaughter, murder, and burn these folks out at the refuge down to the ground. They're very much non-hostile. They're out there doing ranch work right now. And these 3%er groups just want to make sure that it remains that way while they continue with the negotiation process and not under pressure from higher ups to escalate the situation where they force a violent type of confrontation. So that's what they're there for. But the law enforcement are acting actually increasingly hostile toward that group, of course. Now, the comment from Sam says, analysts concur that the ramp up of federal personnel and equipment is sufficient to put a cordon in place around the Malheur National Wildlife Refuge and possibly set up checkpoints in the vicinity of Burns, the town in Oregon. One thing missing from the area is the presence of armor, but as bearcats, mine-resistant, ambush-proof MRAPs, cougars or buffalo, military vehicles, I would not expect a cordon to be put into place without armored vehicles in place. So that may be the best indicator of a future cordon, is if you start seeing armored vehicles. He says, although the FBI now has the capability to cordon and raid the refuge, we do not expect the FBI to choose violence as the first resort. From the beginning, the FBI has gone on the record and maintained that they want a peaceful resolution, and I still believe this to be the case. Well, this salute report that came in that I received last week, and he apparently also sent it to Sam Culper, indicates that apparently 200-plus federal vehicles, 400 to 500 agents and law enforcement officers, mostly tactical guys, are shadowing militia. And, of course, that's an all-encompassing statement. There's, 3% groups. There's militia groups. There's just, patriot groups, people that want to show up and support, reigning in the federal government. They're all lumped into this categorically militia. Hotels are filling up with FBI, state troopers, etc. Sheriff's department is fully locked down and barricaded, which has been affirmed by a couple of videos that we've seen there where Ammon Bundy went to speak to the sheriff. He refused to come out and speak to Ammon Bundy, but he sent out, a second, third in command to talk to him. But they've got the whole sheriff's department is completely barricaded. They're trying to make it into a green zone. Out at the Burns Airport, most hotels and sheriff's department are, all increasing security. FBI TAC teams, state troopers, and sheriff departments from around the state are involved. Basically, nothing's happening right now, but there are indicators that they could be preparing for a tactical action, but it does not look imminent, as some folks were concerned about possibly this week with the additional wing being, modified by the FBI, putting in a trauma and triage facility, and a doctor reportedly calling for blood to be delivered. So there's a lot of folks that were, getting pretty upset over that, about what it could mean. I personally take that as a potential psychological pressure operation to hopefully persuade the families of those out at the refuge to try to put pressure on their loved ones to leave, peacefully and try to end this sooner rather than later. I didn't see that as an indicator of a imminent tactical operations. But we'll see. We'll continue to monitor this. We'll continue to, pray for the whole situation, that it is resolved peacefully, and that there are some meaningful, permanent changes to the way that the federal government does business in these communities, where just the day before yesterday, it was yesterday, multiple ranchers from various different states converged on Burns to make public statements about the wrongdoing that they've suffered and that they want it to end. And many of them actually signed documents ending their contracts with the BLM until things are changed, and probably permanently, so that they can begin doing business with the states and back the process of returning these federally controlled lands to the states like they should be, based on Chris Ann Hall's narrative and her presentations that she's given about the constitutionality of the role that the BLM has taken on, and just the existence of that organization altogether. So anyway, we're going to take a break and come back, and we are going to talk a little bit about something I started to get into yesterday, the constitutional conventions, also known as a CONCON, constitutional conventions, or more appropriately called an Article 5 convention. To change the Constitution to make improvements. Well, I have some reservations about that. And I'll talk a little bit more about that when we come back, and then we'll wrap up. So stay right there. Don't touch that mouse.
This is Matt Shea with your daily news commentary, the way I see it. Well, now that the election results are official, I want to say thank you. I could not have achieved an overwhelming 15 percentage point victory without all of you. Together, we challenged the status quo and sent a strong message to those who compromise on principle that wavering is not a strategy, it's wholesale surrender. And surrender will not restore freedom, liberty, and prosperity to our state. The path to freedom means fighting tooth and nail for lower taxes and less government, and being uncompromising on the rights to life, liberty, property, and the ability to defend the same. It means defending the Constitution and building coalitions around issues of principle. Together, we will continue to push forward the freedom agenda and the values that made America and Washington great. Please visit us and like us on Facebook at Freedom Agenda Washington and watch for actions you can take to help us clear the path to freedom. At least, that's the way I see it. This is Matt Shea. Thank you for listening. Paid for by the committee who elect Matt Shea Republican.
Hi, everyone. This is John Jacob Schmidt here to tell you about the 299 Days book series by lawyer and author Glenn Tate. Follow him through his real-life story of transitioning from middle-aged, unprepared suburbanite to full-blown prepper, tactical team member, and provider and protector of his family. Then let Glenn take you on a wild ride through the collapse, community building, resistance against a corrupt system, and the rebirth of a new one. Go to 299days.com to learn more.
Hey, this is Jordan Page, and you're tuned into Radio Free Readout.
The fourth and final segment here at Radio Free Readout is brought to you by Werks Holsters, WERKZ.com. Custom-made holsters right here in the American Readout with a lifetime guarantee. And we had a great time last night. This is a rare moment for us because everything's just constantly going, blurring, blinding speed with meetings and conference calls and all kinds of stuff going on. To take a few hours out and spend with some amazing people. And you know what's really, really cool is when you work with folks in the Patriot community, and it's all business and you're all in it together. But when those friendships, you know, develop and emerge, then it takes the cause to a different level. It's really cool. We got to go out to dinner last night with the owners and their wives from Works and from Katie Armour and Mrs. Schmidt and I. And now, I have to say, that would have been a very bad time for somebody to walk into a restaurant and start shooting. It just would not have, worked out very well for them. Anyway, none of that stuff happened. We had a great time, and it was just it was really cool. It's really cool to look at, you know, into a businessman and find his motives and his heart and where he's at and why he's doing what he's doing, and to see that he cares about something bigger than just a business. It's, you know, part of the cause. Really, very cool. Anyway, a little tangent there, but I know these guys, I've known them personally, met and spent time with each other, but on that type of social level, it's just a very cool thing. They're good folks. They're really, really cool people. And I want to see their businesses just thrive. And they're just deserving people of that. So really, I just want to say that. If you guys are looking for a holster, if you're looking for a Kydex-style tactical holster, Mrs. Schmidt finally got to sport hers last night. She had the inside-the-waistband Glock 43 Kydex holster from Works. And comfortable. Hard to hardly even tell that it was there. So that was pretty neat. Pretty neat. I say that too much, don't I? Okay, let's talk about this Constitutional Convention, the CONCON, or Article 5. Now, this is a polarizing issue among the Patriot community. So you take a risk when you step out there and start saying, this is what I think. when it's a polarizing topic. Do we tamper with the Constitution or not? Do we open up that Pandora's box for it to get hijacked, and then we're already bad off? How, you know, it could just get worse. Well, other folks are saying, no, it's that bad off, which is why we need to fix some things. We need to fix some things. Now, I have to admit, if the founding fathers could see where we are today as a nation, what would they say about the, what would they do differently with the Constitution? When they went back and said, okay, we looked into the future, we caught a glimpse of how they're going to manipulate this, how they're going to twist things, how they're going to find these little loopholes and wiggle their way through that will undermine the Constitution. So let's go back to 1789. Let's plug some of these holes. What would they have changed? Well, I submit that they would say, The problem is not the Constitution and plugging all these holes is not the issue. The issue is a heart and soul issue, and also an issue of abundant blessing, which has led to apathy in the country. So the patriots, there are very few patriots anymore. There's a lot of patriotic Americans, but there are very few patriots. And even among the patriots, only a few are really fully educated on the republic structure of government, our constitution, our heritage, and all of these things. They cannot even make an articulated argument for Americanism. That's just the way they want it, but they can't really pinpoint it. And I get that. I'm that way, and I don't know everything about everything. I can't explain everything. But this is the problem here. This is what I said. I'm going to use the same quote that I used yesterday. We do not have the caliber of men today which can be trusted to approach this document with scissors or pens in hand. The spirit and intent of the Constitution is clear in the writings of the founders. We can refer to them at any time. The principles are not faulty. They are forgotten. The Constitution isn't broken. It is forsaken. So I don't trust them to open up a constitutional convention to see what's broken in the Constitution that we need to fix. The number one argument that I hear from folks is that, look, we've got the majority. Republicans are the majority in most of the states. Now, we're shifting ever so slowly to the left, and some states are starting to turn purple and then turn blue. Right now, while we have the majority of Republicans in the states, let's do it now. Time is of the essence. Well, hold on a minute. Why are we shifting to the left? What's going to stop a Democrat majority among all the states from doing this a few years down the road when they can outnumber us? And finally, what makes us think that Republican equals conservative? We've had Republican majority in Congress and in the states more often than not, and we continue moving to the left. This last fall, Congress was completely flipped up on its head, and the Republicans gained control. And what did they do with it? They sold out the American people. They took us to the left, farther. They are achieving what the Democrats were trying to achieve 25 years ago. Those are today's Republicans, are yesterday's Democrats. Today's Democrats are yesterday's communists. So we're not going to fix this. Now, there's people on the left that do not want a constitutional convention. I referred to that yesterday. Why? Because they're terrified about what the right-wing extremist conservatives might do. Guess what? There aren't as many right-wing extremist conservatives as the left is fearing. What we fear is that the people that will be handling that project, constitutional Article 5 convention, are going to... They are not the men who form this country. Those men are gone. There are men out there that do come from that same type of cloth, that same caliber. But you know what? They are never going to be allowed to rise to the position to be involved in an Article 5 convention. They're going to be oppressed, suppressed, pushed down, ignored, elbowed out. There's too many special interest groups. There's too much money for to have the Republican governors, which is going to be necessary because you could have 3/4 of the states ratify it. And of the 3/4 of the states, I haven't counted, if that many were Republican, how many are left-leaning Republican? How many are compromised Republicans? How many of them are addicted like junkies to federal money and federal funding and federal influence? I would say the overwhelming majority. It would be a fraction of those who would be bold enough to stand. I don't care what they have behind their name. They will sell us out. And then on top of that, you have the issue that this Constitution is wholly inadequate for the government of any other people other than God-fearing Christian people. I mean, you may as well just bring in Sharia law. If we're going to just turn godless, it doesn't matter what the Constitution says. It doesn't matter what the highest authority is if it's ignored and if the people don't care enough about it. And if they're morally bankrupt, it doesn't matter what the Constitution says. In fact, this summer when the Supreme Court, when they said about the homosexual marriage issue, they basically dismissed any constitutional arguments against the acceptance and special treatment of homosexual so-called marriage. Their response was, the American people are ready for this. And they're going to use the same argument when it comes to taking our means of defending ourselves, religious persecution. All of these things are going to be done under that same argument. The American people are ready for this change that we are implementing. What about the Constitution? Well, you know, we don't want to contradict the Constitution, but the American people are ready for this. So there's a really good article, and I'm going to wrap up, over at New American. And I love the New American. I love the John Birch Society. Love them. Love, love, love them. I wish there was more young people. I wish they would appeal to the young people more, because you go to a John Birch Society meeting and it's just like the whole, it's like a wave of blue and white hair, and everybody's like half asleep, right? They don't like the way our country's, but where's the youth? That's where we're failing, right there. We're failing because we're not grabbing the next generation. But what they do, the work that they do, as far as advocacy and for education, amazing. The essence of our concern why Oklahoma defeated the Article 5 convention this year was that this would be a runaway convention, is what somebody said. That's a legitimate concern, but it's just not going to fix it unless we fix other things. But they did a really good article on this. What is an Article 5 convention? Let's talk about that real quick. Article 5 of the U.S. Constitution authorizes two methods for amending the Constitution. One way is the congressional method, in which Congress proposes an amendment by a two-thirds vote of each house and sends it to the states for ratification, where three-fourths of the states are required to sign on and ratify it. Now, the second way, the convention method, whereby if two-thirds of the state legislators, 34 states, apply to Congress to call a convention for proposing amendments, commonly referred to as an Article 5 convention, a constitutional convention or a CONCON, Congress shall call such a convention. Congress would, do you think that they would call such a convention now if we said, these are the amendments we want to propose, so we're approaching you to call this convention? No, they're going to find everything else to do but get around to calling a convention. It's not even going to happen in the first place, because they're afraid what this might do. If it really did do what the intent is, you know, to fix the loopholes in the Constitution that the left has exploited, well, they're not going to let that happen. Congress would send any amendments proposed by the convention to the states for ratification, where once again, three-fourths of the states are required. In either of the two methods for proposing amendments, Congress has the option of sending the proposed amendments to either the state legislatures or to special state conventions for ratification. And as sold out as so many of these so-called Republican governors are, they have an immense amount of influence and control over the people in those legislators, in the legislatures. And anybody who doesn't toe the line, they make them pay the price. It's just not good. Now, during the entire 227 years since the Constitution went into effect, 27 amendments have been added using the congressional method and none by the conventional method. It hasn't been done. The first 10 of those amendments, you guys know them as the Bill of Rights. The other 17 amendments, of those, several are widely regarded by constitutionalists as disasters. For example, the 16th Amendment in 1913, supported by the progressives, enabled the federal government to tax personal incomes directly and has led to the present-day tyrannical IRS. But that was never ratified, was it? Another example, the 17th Amendment, 1913, also supported by the progressives, brought about the direct election of senators to Congress in place of the original appointment of senators by the state legislators. It took control away. Even though they said it will give you more control, it actually had the opposite effect. Present-day constitutionalists see the 17th Amendment as very damaging to the original Constitution balance of powers between the state and federal governments. The 16th and the 17th Amendments are revealing examples of just how easily the Constitution can be damaged and just how bad the results can be from seemingly benign amendments. So anyway, I'll let you read that article for yourself. It's very enlightening. Read both sides. Find some articles that maybe I could look for those. Maybe that's because I've been asked by the Spokane County Constitutional Republicans to speak in March, and they've asked me to speak on this topic. So I will continue to research this. Knowing what I know now, I do not think I'm going to be changing my position on this. But I want to keep an objective. I want to maintain an objective approach to this topic, but right now, I'm saying no way. Don't let them even approach that. We've got to deal with spiritual heart issues before we have the maturity and the capacity to properly handle the constitutional issues. If we're not taking care of things in that realm, the heavenly realm, if we're whacked, we're not going to be able to adequately deal with the things in the earthly realm, period. And that's my world viewpoint. Okay, I'm going to wrap this thing up, guys. Stay tuned for a partisan radio. It's been a while since we've been able to do that just because of the schedule and developments, things that have been going on. Volume 30 coming up. And that's going to be here in just a little while. So stay tuned for that. You guys have a blessed rest of the week. Look forward to fielding your questions and your emails. Thank you for your prayers and your support. And we'll talk to you next Saturday on the American Christian Network on the radio. And then right here next Sunday night at the Voice of the American Redoubt. This is John Jacob Schmidt. Good night.